The cherry trees bloom white against the Russian spring, their petals drifting like snow across the Renevsky estate. It's May, but the morning air still carries winter's chill, a fitting atmosphere for a homecoming tinged with dread. Lyubov Andreevna Renevskaya has returned after 5 years in Paris, fleeing the drowning of her young son in the river that borders her ancestral home. Now she faces a different kind of drowning, financial ruin. The estate is mortgaged beyond recovery, with an auction date looming just months away. Yet, as Renevskaya gazes at the moonlit orchard, she sees her mother's ghost walking among the trees, and we understand why she cannot bear to lose this place, where memory and identity have become inseparable from the land itself. This tension between sentiment and survival forms the heart of Chekhov's masterpiece. Written in 1903, as Russian society trembled on the edge of revolution, the play captures that universal moment when we must choose between clinging to our past or embracing an uncertain future. The cherry orchard itself, described as the largest and most beautiful in the region, becomes both character and symbol, its fate hanging in the balance as human characters dance around decisions they cannot bring themselves to make. Renevskaya embodies the dying aristocracy, generous to a fault, giving away gold coins despite impending bankruptcy. She maintains an expensive Paris apartment, employs unaffordable staff, and hosts lavish parties with imported delicacies. When her exploitative former lover telegrams, she tears it up, but still sends money she doesn't have. Her brother, Leonid Gayev, shares this impracticality, delivering emotional speeches to furniture and announcing imaginary billiard shots whenever conversation becomes uncomfortable. The family's disconnect from reality peaks when they host an elaborate party on the auction evening that will determine their fate. Rather than attending themselves, they send Gayev, while champagne flows at home. When news arrives that the estate has been sold, Renevskaya collapses in tears while dance music continues in the next room, a devastating juxtaposition of revelry and despair. Yet these characters aren't mere caricatures. Renevskaya's grief over her drowned son manifests in her inability to face the orchard where he died. Gayev, despite his childishness, genuinely loves his sister and nieces. They are humans caught in historical currents beyond their control, aristocrats unprepared for the capitalism that would eventually sweep away their entire class. Standing opposite the fading aristocracy are two visions of Russia's future. Lopakhin, the successful merchant whose grandfather was a serf on this estate, embodies the rising commercial class. He repeatedly urges Renevskaya to subdivide the orchard into summer cottages, a plan that would save her financially while destroying the estate's character. When Lopakhin purchases the orchard, his triumph mixes with regret. "I bought the estate where my grandfather and father were slaves," he exclaims, dancing manically. Yet he immediately feels out of place, knocking over a candelabra and apologizing awkwardly. Despite his wealth, he remains an outsider in aristocratic spaces. Petya Trofimov represents another vision as the eternal student and revolutionary idealist. Where Lopakhin sees profit, Trofimov sees social justice. "All of Russia is our orchard," he tells Anya, inspiring her with visions of a more equitable society. Yet Trofimov himself is somewhat ridiculous, perpetually broke, unable to complete his studies, too idealistic for practical reality. Between these competing visions, Lopakhin's pragmatic capitalism and Trofimov's utopian socialism, the play presents no clear winner, foreshadowing Russia's tumultuous 20th century journey. Against the backdrop of social transformation, several poignant love stories remain unfulfilled. Most prominent is the relationship between Lopakhin and Varya, Renevskaya's adopted daughter. Everyone expects them to marry. They clearly harbor deep feelings, and such a union would resolve both financial and social complications. Yet something prevents Lopakhin from proposing. Their final scene together is a masterpiece of subtle tension. With Varya packing to leave forever, Lopakhin enters intending to propose. What follows is an excruciating dance of avoidance, awkward small talk, while unspoken words hang in the air. Just when it seems Lopakhin might break through, he's called away on business, leaving both characters and audience with a profound sense of missed opportunity. Similar patterns repeat throughout the play. Dunyasha pines for Yasha, who treats her cruelly. Yepikotov pursues the disinterested Dunyasha. Anya and Trofimov form a connection between romantic attraction and intellectual partnership, with Trofimov insisting they must rise above love for Russia's future. These unfulfilled relationships serve as metaphors for the larger themes of missed connections. Characters talk past each other or remain silent when words matter most. When Lopakhin cannot propose despite genuine affection, we see how deeply ingrained class barriers remain insurmountable, even as economic realities shift. For Renevskaya, the orchard represents her idyllic childhood. She sees her dead mother walking among the trees and remembers playing there as a girl. These memories comfort, yet paralyze her. "If only I could forget my past," she laments, recognizing how attachment to memory prevents necessary action. The elderly servant Furs embodies memory at its most poignant. At 87, he constantly reminisces about pre-emancipation life, idealizing a feudal system where the peasants belong to the masters and the masters belong to the peasants. His identity is inseparable from the family he serves. Memory takes physical form in the cherry orchard itself. Lopakhin's proposal to cut it down isn't merely a business transaction, but the erasure of history. While the orchard has witnessed generations of family events, clinging to these memories prevents the family from creating new ones. In one of the play's most haunting moments, characters hear a distant sound like a breaking string, followed by silence, representing the severing of connections to the past, a break in Russian history's continuity that can never be repaired. The play's final act shows the nursery stripped bare with luggage in corners. The family scatters, Renevskaya returning to Paris despite her lover's betrayal, Gaev taking a bank position, Anya and Trofimov heading to Moscow with revolutionary dreams. "Goodbye, house, goodbye, old life," Anya calls out, with Trofimov responding, "Welcome, new life." Their optimism contrasts with the older character's grief. Renevskaya and Gaev embrace and weep as she bids farewell. "My dear, precious cherry orchard, my life, my youth, my happiness, goodbye." The most devastating moment comes when Furs, the elderly servant, is accidentally left behind. Ill and confused, he lies down, murmuring, "They've forgotten me." As he lies motionless, we hear two sounds, a distant breaking string, followed by axes striking cherry trees, marking the end of an era. Yet the play doesn't end in complete despair. A distant, approaching train signals modernity and forward movement. This final image captures the play's essential balance, beauty destroyed alongside emerging possibilities. The cherry orchard falls as one Russia dies and another is born, revealing the tension between loss and renewal that characterizes all human transitions.